You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
We've been at this 18 years next month, coming up in about 3 weeks. Very special guests tonight, several of them. We're going to start off with, without question, in my opinion, probably the biggest constitutional crisis ever to face the country, and most specifically, certainly, the executive branch. Jerome Corsi is with us tonight. Jerome is a great American, a true patriot, a man who has contributed a tremendous amount to trying to unravel this fraud in the White House. He is a Ph.D. grad of Harvard in political science and serves as senior staff reporter for online news giant Joe Farah's World News Daily, WND. He is the author of 2 number one New York Times nonfiction bestsellers, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry, with co-author John O'Neill, and The Abomination, Leftist Politics, and the Cult of Personality. As an economics expert, Jerome Corsi is also a senior managing director at Guilford Securities. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Jeff, great to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you indeed. I think we should start at the beginning and ask you when you became convinced that you had a role to play in trying to bring this fraud down and cleanse the nation of its most really hideous alleged commander-in-chief, probably in history.
Well, I think, Jeff, it started when I was finishing up the research and defense of my last number one bestseller, New York Times bestseller, The Abomination,
right,
in 2008. I think I was one of the first, actually, to tell Fox and Friends, was being interviewed by Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends, and I said the short form, the certification of live birth, was a fraud, and that was in 2008. And as I began to research it, got into really the lies Obama has told about his nativity story and really his entire life, I became convinced as an investigative reporter, you know, when you find fundamental lies, Obama told a misinformation story in his autobiography, Dreams of My Father, and the lies convinced me that Obama was covering up the fact that he knew he was not a natural-born citizen and wanted to hide that information from the American public.
Uh-huh.
And so I started getting deeper and deeper into the research. I was in Kenya. I was deported from Kenya.
Yeah, I want to go there in just a minute. I want to hear that story for sure.
And, I have had continuing excellent contact from Kenya that have continued to supply me information.
Uh-huh.
And I've been to Hawaii multiple times. I've hired private investigators. I've really done an in-depth investigation for 3 years. And I'm convinced that, first of all, Obama was not a natural-born citizen because his father was a Kenyan, the dual citizen when he was born. Mm-hmm. Even if he was born in Hawaii, even if that were true, he'd still not be qualified for president. He'd be ineligible, as dual citizens are by definition not natural-born citizens. I think Obama had the same problem when he was in Indonesia. He became an Indonesian citizen, and that should have disqualified him as well as a natural-born citizen.
Right.
But as I got more and more into the research, I'm now really convinced Obama was born in Kenya, and that this whole Hawaiian birth is a lie. And quite frankly, one of the strategies of writing Where's the Birth Certificate was to try to force Obama's hand. I think he became so frightened the book was going to come out that we forced Obama to release this long-form birth certificate. And it was clearly, I thought from the beginning, that if we get Obama to flinch and to feel that frightened, that he would release a document that he spent millions of dollars and lawyers and years to show no one, that when the document came to light, it would be a forgery.
All right, that's the one that was released about, 6 weeks ago now, something
like
that.
April 27th.
Okay, now let me spend just a minute on that. We have all seen, all of us who care, the multi-layers in that alleged original document. What's your take on that?
Well, it's clearly a document that was produced in Adobe software, most likely Adobe Illustrator.
Right.
And from the first 20 minutes after the White House showed that document, experts were saying, you know, this is a computer-created forgery.
And not a very good one, when you consider how easily it was to take the thing apart. I mean, that raises the question, did someone just make a mistake, or did someone do it on purpose?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, Jeff, and I think the answer to me is, you know, when you're the President of the United States and you want to criminally forge a document about your government document that you were born in Hawaii, well, you can't put out a request for a proposal and get the best forger in the world.
Right.
You know, you're stuck with the people around you.
Well, the Chicago crime heritage that he shares with Rahm Emanuel certainly has in its stable a number of pretty damn good computer hackers.
But you've got to keep this information to a close group.
I would think.
And so, you know, Obama was stuck with the loyalists around him to do this.
Uh-huh.
And I think you had plenty of people at Perkins & Coie, the law firm, who have been working to cover up for Obama for years. His chief attorney there, Robert Bauer, has now moved into the White House's White House counsel and still on public payroll supporting Obama on eligibility arguments, which to me, I think, is, again, probably, if you look at it hard, a violation of a variety of laws.
Has to be.
But, you know, you're stuck with a small group who you can trust as president to produce the forged document.
Okay, well, that brings me to the other question then. And we've all seen the allegation, the contention, that the Adobe program has a little box.
Right.
And if you check it, the layers disappear. If you uncheck it, they don't, or vice versa. Now, does that mean that somebody screwed up and is wearing concrete boots at the bottom of the Hudson River right now, or did somebody do it on purpose? And not uncheck that box.
That's the alternative is that someone, you know, the people who forged this were doing a rush job. They didn't think about it very carefully, and they inadvertently let out the evidence of their guilt.
What an incredible blunder.
It is. And right now, I've just got running a WorldNet Daily right now. I've written a three-article series of Doug Voigt, who is a international scanner expert up in Bellevue, Washington. He has owned a company selling scanners since 1993 around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he owned a typeset company. Doug Voigt has just filed a criminal complaint with the FBI. I've fully documented it. I've had his criminal complaint. And we're reporting now his forensic analysis of this computer-generated file that the White House released. And I think the evidence that Doug Voigt released is irrefutable, that not only are there layers, but the layers display a variety of footprints.
All over the place.
Over the place. There are clear indications. I mean, he just began one of his first proofs to me was, you know, they tried to make it look like they were copying out of a book.
Right.
So there's curved into the spine of the book.
I know.
Well, the form curves, but the letters in the form don't curve. So they imposed, you know, the type form of generated for the information on Obama on top of what looks like a composite of several original or authentic birth certificate forms that they got from the Hawaii Department of Health. They had to have, and there were accomplices from within the Hawaii Department of Health, a month before this was released, before February 24th, I got a call from one of my top intelligence people in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a mole within the Hawaii Department of Health that monitored this for us from the beginning.
Ah.
We were told that the document was now forged and was inserted into the logbook. I reported this to Joseph Farah. I documented it in a series of articles I wrote. It's on February 24th. We decided to hold those articles and not publish them because we really thought if we could just get Obama to release that forgery.
Very smart.
You know, now the White House is stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great chess move on your part.
And, you know, by having Obama so frightened that this book was going to come out, I told Joseph Farah, let's keep the title of the book, Where's the Birth Certificate? Let the Obama administration think that they could, you know, make the book and say, well, where's the birth certificate? It's on the White House website. They'd score a public relations, you know, immediate advantage.
Uh-huh.
But long term, for the rest of history, Obama, first of all, his presidency and also his legacy is going to depend on the authenticity of that document. Once we prove that document is a fraud, Obama's stuck with it, and I wanted to get Obama to release the forgery I knew had been created within the Department of Health.
You outsmarted a lot of people, Jerry. That was
They thought they had it. You know, they thought they were going to destroy the book. I said, Joseph, look, I'll go on radio. There's millions of people who will see this forgery and recognize it for what it is, and long term will win. Once the American people see the evidence. And this article today in WorldNet Daily, I think when you see the 22-page report and the analysis I do of it today and the next 2 days in WorldNet Daily, you look at the forensic evidence. This is a very, very poorly done forgery in which the, you know, that combining grayscale and bitmap letters.
Oh, dropping letters in the don't. Yes, exactly.
You know, that doesn't result from a scan.
Yeah.
It results from a manipulation of the of an Adobe Illustrator document, which you're cutting and pasting. And that's what this shows clearly, including all the white space around all the letters, which means when they brought forth their forgery and put it in the forefront, they didn't even know how to go back and clean up the bits of the pixels.
It boggles my mind that this could happen. They've spent so much money creating this guy out of shadows and darkness, and putting him in front of the people as the great savior. He's the biggest liar in American presidential history, period. And to have this kind of a bumbling effort exposed, and you did it.
Well, I knew they would do it. I mean, having analyzed and watched Obama for so long, I knew we could make them blink, make them feel fear, and they would make this kind of blunder. I just was amazed, even myself, when I saw how poor this file was that they released on the White House website. I knew we had them.
I was appalled. We're going to go right through the break, network. We're not going to stop. This was so bad when I saw it. And I'm not a computer expert, but I did a lot of research on this. And I still am appalled that someone was that careless, or some people, or some group of people. This is just bad. What they've done here is now hung this guy with how many felonies? I don't know. You mentioned Confederates in the Hawaii Department of Health.
Right.
They're guilty by accessory to a felony. This thing is an enormous issue. Not to mention the fact, Jerry, if I'm correct, and I know I am, that literally every piece of legislation he has signed since he's been in office is null and void on its face right now. It should be.
But see, Jeff, until we got Obama trapped, and he had to release this to try to prevent the book from being published, and then the book became a bestseller, it's number 6 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Congratulations.
After only 4 days of sales.
Wow. Yeah.
It's clearly going to rise, I think, in the second week on the list. This is going to be to the White House. Now before they released this, Obama could have said, well, the short form, Certificate of Live Birth, somebody else did for me. Fact check did that. But once Obama said he sent his lawyers to Hawaii, Obama came to the press room in the White House and said, this is my birth certificate, and they released it. Now Obama is in the chain of evidence himself.
You bet.
And the document they released is a fraud. Once proved, the Obama administration falls.
It has to.
It
I don't see them possibly tying this up in the courts for any unless
Jeff,
the courts.
That's the whole game of what I played in writing this book. That was my strategy from the beginning.
Well, I just I salute you, and I can't commend you enough. You have done this country an incredible public service. The hit effort on your book at WorldNet Daily, that so-called parody, I'm not sure, was so obvious. That was a desperation.
Esquire coming out and saying we pulled the book.
Right.
We were reducing it to pulp. We knew now that Obama had released his birth certificate that the book was all a lie.
Yeah.
That was all. Esquire made that up completely.
Yeah, of course.
And how silly. I mean, Esquire was trying to get the bookstores to pull the book from the shelves and have a reason to do it. So, I mean, the first few hours when Obama released the birth certificate, when the book came out, we knew we had a public relations war, but I did 120 radio interviews in the first few days.
Unreal.
First 2 weeks, I did, I think, 140 radio interviews.
Amazing. All right, your 22-page brief that you talked about, filed with the FBI, that's covered in the story at WorldNet Daily right now. I always
right
call
now.
It
WorldNet. Right now, it's the lead story on WorldNet Daily right now.
Criminal complaint charges Obama birth record forged by Jerome R. Corsi. It's at WND.com right now. I'm going to post it and link to it at Rents.com in just a few minutes. But I urge all of you to read this. This is an opportunity that Jerry has given all of us to step up and get this guy out. We have a country now that has been steered down a course of utter illegality. Everything he signed as a bogus president is null and void.
That's
it
right.
It doesn't hold the force of law.
The entire presidency is now at risk. And once the forgery is proved, and once we begin identifying the people who did the forgery, they have to face criminal charges, and Obama himself should face criminal charges. That was a strategy. Now, when you look at this document that Doug Boyd has done, I mean, just open it up and look at the first couple of images where it's absolutely clear that the words, you know, Kapiolani Hospital, et cetera, that were placed in this document do not bend into the binder. They don't bend. The form bends, but the words don't bend.
Little problem, yeah.
Little problem, I mean, you know. And then you go a little bit further into the article, and, you know, we show that behind all these letters, there's this halo effect. There's white behind all the letters.
Uh-huh.
You don't even see the green hash marks behind the letter.
Oh, it's clear. I'm looking at it right now.
And we show you what a grayscale scan looks like. In a grayscale scan, you know, Doug Boyd scans the bank checks.
Boy, he did a good job.
And behind it, you can see the pattern, including there's no halo effect.
Right.
We show what it looks like when you reduce it to bitmap. And it's just absolutely clear that this was a... the white halo effect shows that these letters were superimposed by a computer on top of forms that were created by using original birth certificates and a composite. So what Boyd is, I think, proved is that, you know, an accomplice within the Department of Health allowed the Obama people to come in and get some real birth certificates. They doctored them in Adobe software. They used them as a template, and then they placed Obama's information on top of it.
Right.
And it's just obvious when you see forensically how the document was created. There's no doubt. It's irrefutable. I mean, just scroll down. You'll see how the Barack in the top line, the R in Barack.
It's dropped right in.
It's just, I mean, the bitmap is dropped in around the R. Evidently, they left that R in, or they were using some of this as a alignment tool.
Mm-hmm.
But look at this birth certificate number, 6110641. The one is obviously a JPEG, a photograph that dropped into the number because they probably had an original document that was 1064 whatever, and they altered it to put the one in to make Barack, because they were stuck with that number, 10641, which was an out of sequence number. It could not have been Barack Obama's birth certificate was filed by the General Register on August 8th, and it was given this number 10641, according to the forgers. But then we subsequently, about a year later, got the Nordyke twins' birth certificate.
Yes.
And they were registered 3 days later, August 11th, and they got numbers 10637 or 10638.
Uh-huh.
That's impossible. I found a document written by Charles Barnett, who was the Registrar General. He describes the birth control, all of the vital records for creating birth certificates. As soon as the General Registrar stamped the date on accepting that birth certificate, they used a old Bates mechanical stamper and put in the number. Well, clearly, if Obama's birth certificate was registered 3 days earlier, it had to have a number lower than 10637. They were stuck with this 10641. They got a birth certificate that had the 1064, and they photoshopped, or with Adobe Illustrator, added the one, taking away the number that was on the original birth certificate.
Got it.
The fraud is obvious.
Now,
when you look at that, it's startling when you look at the number I produced in WorldNet Daily tonight.
This is a major article you've written. I've got so many questions. My head is almost spinning. The Hawaii Department of Health, obviously complicit in I would suggest, a felonious way with this fraud. How high does it go? Does it go up to the governor?
I think the governor had to be involved because the governor went in and looked for the records and it wasn't there.
Said he couldn't find them.
And my accomplices in Hawaii, including the mole, said he couldn't find it because it wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
It was only a log entry. And then as they panicked, as they realized my book was coming out,
mm-hmm.
and my book has, I mean, I've got 124 exhibits in this book. I document how Obama has lied about his parentage, about his, about his mother staying in Hawaii until the father, Barack Obama Sr., left to Harvard. It didn't happen that way. You know, 3 weeks after the baby was born, she split. She went to Seattle and enrolled at the University of Washington, Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I have a transcript. I have 9 pages of documents. The courses she took were night courses. I have her address. I have a photograph of the house in which he had an apartment. I interviewed the babysitter.
Really? You got the babysitter. Amazing.
I got the babysitter.
That's called true research journalism. Congratulations.
Well, and it was because the mother and father were never married.
Uh-huh.
Now that we have the Immigration Naturalization Service records that came out after the book was published for Barack Obama Sr., even the Immigration and Naturalization Service concluded when I did this was a sham marriage. And the case is, you know, Ann Dunham has 6 months missing in her timeline. And she wanted Barack Obama to assume that he was the father. She wanted him to marry her.
Frank Marshall Davis could have been the dad then, right?
Well, he may not have been the dad.
He might have been the dad, Frank Marshall Davis.
Might have been or might not. It, you know, again, Ann Dunham wanted him to be. She went off to Africa to convince the family. She had the baby in Africa.
I'm talking about Frank Marshall Davis now.
Right.
Okay.
He might have been the dad. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't fully published this yet, Jeff, but the story is that Ann Dunham was spending a lot of time around Bill Lederer's bar on 2 Hotel Street in 1960 in Honolulu, which was, of course, the red light district, and she got pregnant.
And
then she decided, well, you know, Barack Obama was, she was in this Russian language class. She really wanted him to be the dad. She had this fantasy. She was going to go back to Africa with him. She was going to be the, you know, Eva Perón of Africa. But Barack Obama wasn't having anything to do with it, and he really was not. He said, "Okay, well, you could use my name. I'll go down as the husband and the father," because he thought it would help him with the INS to extend his visa privileges. Barack Obama's visa expired the same month the baby was born, and Ann Dunham, the grandmother, said always that she was present at the birth of Mombasa. And I've also published, we had them even this yesterday in WorldNet Daily, we may still be running the article, I've now got the documents for the Kenyan government, where the Kenyan government concluded that the birth record in Kenya, Obama's birth record, was criminally tampered with and removed from the file.
Wow. Okay, you're talking about
Kenyan government stationery.
You're talking about the paternal grandmother in Kenya.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about the maternal grandmother at some point. We have to take a break just for a couple minutes. If you can hang on, Jerry, please.
I will.
Don't forget also, folks, that Stanley Ann Dunham was employed by the Ford Foundation, okay? This is very sticky, this whole thing. Be right back. Okay, and let's get right back to our special guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Very honored to have him on the program. Now, he is incredibly busy. The book could bring down, should bring down, and we better hope it brings down, the biggest fraud ever to occupy the Oval Office, or the Pink Office, as some people call it. Where's the birth certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. Where's the birth certificate? Already number 6 on the New York Times bestseller list, and let's push it to the top. By the way, this is a felony, as Mr. Voigt brings out in his article. It is a Class B felony in Hawaii, and multiple violations under U.S. Code Section Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 47, Section 1028, and therefore an impeachable offense. It's right there. It's in our hands, thanks to Jerry, and it's who's it up to make this happen?
Well, I think, Jeff, we've got to now make sure that the FBI takes this complaint seriously. In other words, the American people have got to pound the FBI and hound them so that Eric Holder and the others at the Justice Department don't try to suppress this complaint. And I think if we keep the pressure on, I'll be calling certain very top officials in past Justice Departments, let them know this complaint's been filed.
Right.
American citizens all across the country have got to call up local FBI offices, call up the FBI in Washington, and make sure that this complaint does not get swept under the rug.
They've got to express outrage. The American people must demand action.
Right. The forensic evidence, and this is the first of three articles I go through in detail and analyze and show you on WorldNet Daily, all the forensic evidence. This is just the beginning salvo. Wait till you see the next two articles. But here it's clear. I mean, when you see the white space around the letters, you look at a scanner expert. I mean, Doug Voigt has, since 1993, been selling all brands of scanners around the world.
Yeah, Doug's the man. I gotcha.
And before that, he owned a typesetting company.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, the White House claimed this was a scanned document, and Voigt is saying, absolutely no way. Anybody who knows the forensic evidence knows the White House is lying. And look, even from a common sense point of view, Doug says, look, Jeff, if Obama had been serious and really meant to do anything except, you know, hoodwink the American people again, the obvious, honest thing to do would be to say, like in a court of law, the best evidence of this long-form birth certificate is not the computer-generated file. Obvious forgery. He would have said, the original is in the Hawaii Department of Health. I'll release the original document to forensic testing by a group of international experts. That Barack Obama didn't do that is, to me, proof positive the cover-up is going on. The American people have got to demand a forensic examination of the original document released from the Hawaii Department and made public.
Right.
And I've got to press that this file, this computer-generated file, the White House released on April 27th, is an obvious forgery. The White House today, I checked, you can't even download anymore the birth certificate from the White House website.
Uh-huh.
And they've erased the link to the evidence, you know, the so-called letters that showed that Obama had his lawyers fly out to Hawaii and pick up original copies. What they released was not the original copies. They released a electronic file. I mean, how silly can you be? There weren't electronic birth certificates in 1961. Why did the White House release as best evidence of this document an electronic file that shows obvious evidence of having been forged?
It just boggles the mind. Now, there is another, by the way, there's so much to talk about here. The book is magnificent. And I hope all of you will buy it. Let's push it to the top. Where's the birth certificate? The case that Barack Obama, or Barry Satoru, is not eligible to be president, period. And obviously the man is not. Now,
and Jeff, look down the two articles below that in WorldNet Daily today, the intelligence report about honoring Obama's birthplace. I have intelligence reports from the NSIS, which is the intelligence agency in Kenya.
Uh-huh.
They document that this cultural memorial was going to be built in the Obama village in Kenya celebrating his birth. You can even see a picture. You can see the NIS report. You can see a picture of the memorial they were going to build celebrating Obama's birthplace in Kenya. And then also look at the third article down. There's actually the fourth article, third article below the top headline.
Uh-huh.
Kenya probe claim Obama born in Africa.
Yeah.
And scroll through that. You're going to find a letter in there that was written by Kisomi, the permanent secretary of the Department of Immigration in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second paragraph, he says that documents have been removed and criminally tampered the birth records of Obama. This tampering, this criminal tampering, is a serious offense. And records were missing as to hide the evidence of Obama's actual birth at the Lady Grigg maternity wing of the Coast Provincial General Hospital in Kenya.
Got it. That's Mr. Kisombi talking.
Mr. Kisombi.
Okay.
And then you'll see, if you scroll down a little bit further, they told Kisombi wrote to Ranenberger, our ambassador in Kenya, a letter which says, well, we don't actually have Obama's birth certificate, but there's missing records. And this is because George W. Bush was onto this when he was president and was looking for Obama's birth records in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenyan government is documenting here that there's criminal tampering of the record, birth records in Kenya. The Kenyan government believes Obama's birth certificate records were criminally destroyed. Now, how strong an evidence can you get of a international cover-up here?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Paternal grandma claims she was present at the birth. Is that holding up under your scrutiny?
Yes, because she not only claimed this one time in that interview, that taped interview with McRae that has been, and I had that translated by Kenyan speakers, and they said she did insist all the way through the interview that she meant that she was present at Obama's birth. The grandmother didn't say that just once. The intelligence reports that I cite from the Kenyan government that I have make it clear Obama's step-grandmother, Grandmother Sarah in Africa, has been saying for years that Obama was born there. I'm confident that when Obama went to Kenya as a college student, Grandmother Sarah told him you were born here.
Yeah, why not? Of course.
She's known it, and now we've got the Kenyan government affirming that they, too, believe Grandma Sarah. They did a criminal investigation, and they come to the conclusion in Kenya that Obama birth records were criminally destroyed.
Right. We're going to pass on this break, too, Network. Let's go to Stanley Dunham's mother.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting story, which has been brushed away. Nobody remembers it now. This woman, allegedly, did not have the best relationship with Barry.
Correct.
They didn't get along.
They did not get along.
When I first heard that, I said, as this candidacy progresses, that woman's life gets shorter.
That's right.
Okay, now you know where I'm going with this, but for the listeners who don't, this woman knew everything.
There is
also a short form that I had on my site, you've seen it, where she signed the bottom of it. Now, does that form make any sense to you, or is that a fake also? That's not
one. Again, you know, that's one that was circulated. It may have been a fake. Her name was spelled wrong in it.
Yes.
But, you know, the point about the grandmother was there's nobody alive now.
None.
His mother is gone, Ann Dunham. The grandmother is gone. The only ones that are alive are Sarah in Africa, and she continues to tell the story. She was President Obama's birth.
Now, going back to Grandma, the maternal grandmother,
Dunham,
who
Grandma
didn't
Dunham.
Get along, Grandma Dunham.
Beck Obama told the story about how he thought she was a racist because
a
panhandler came up to her. The bus was black, and she was frightened. Obama told that story even during the campaign.
It's disgusting. Remember also that the press was kept away from Grandma.
Yeah.
She was sequestered. At first they said she had cancer, and then they changed it, and then they said that she had broken her hip. And when Barkey went over to visit her during the campaign, I said it on the air here. I said, he's going to say goodbye.
Well, he did. She died.
And the day before the day before, that's right, the election.
They threw her ashes into the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, if you wanted to even get DNA testing of Obama.
She didn't die. They put her to sleep, for goodness sake.
Well, you know, it's certainly very suspicious. And for me, what I'm going on here, Jeff, is the documentary evidence that I've got now. We've got a obviously forged birth certificate that Obama released.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some telltale signs in it. I mean, I have this will be in the subsequent articles, but if you take a look at that, the registrar stamp at the bottom of, you know, where you've got Alvin Alcuna, the state registrar,
mm-hmm.
stamping the document that the White House released on April 27th. If you blow that stamp up, it's a stamp. This is, you know, this is something you use over and over again. At the very bottom of the White House release document, Alvin Onaka's stamp, it's got a misspelling in it. The B is T-X-E.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you look at it, it's T-X-E.
Another screw-up.
In fact, it's probably T-K-E. And, I've seen hundreds of Alvin Onaka stamps. None of them have, nobody uses a stamp with a misspelling in it.
No.
First one I've ever seen. And then if you blow up the A in Alvin,
mm-hmm.
there's a smiley face in the loop of the A.
Come on.
Yeah, there's a smiley face in the loop of the A. It'll be in my third article here in the series on Boyd. He noticed the smiley face is put in the loop of the A with an E written in there.
Oh, my.
I'm confident that the forger, who Voight says was probably a graphic artist in the Obama team, left his signature in the forged document.
Arrogance, the ego, it trips up many people. This is
but
interesting.
But it's clearly a forged stamp.
Yeah,
you do not have a registrar. Give me a break. The registrar in Hawaii putting his stamp on what's likely to be one of the most famous historical documents ever coming out of the Hawaii Department of Health, and he's got a misspelling, a T-X-E or T-K-E in the stamp instead of T-H-E for the, and a smiley face in the A.
It's obscenely stupid.
It really is. And then you've got the Kenyan government now, and I'm getting a hold of Kenyan government documents, Kenyan government reports. Remember, I was deported over there, but I spent 10 days in Kenya and had many, many very top contacts.
Were you roughed up over there at all?
Pardon me?
Were you roughed up, Jerry, over there?
They were polite, but, you know, I pretty much figured we would be deported, and I arranged it on the last day I was going to give a press conference, and we had a flight out to London that day, that night. So the easiest thing was to put us on the flight, which I advised them pretty early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I have the deportation papers now, and it was Odinga, the prime minister, who ordered me deported.
Well, funniest
Obama
thing. Explain the relationship there, yeah.
Well, Obama had been supporting Odinga, supporting him with campaign money,
yep.
Again violating the law, and I can prove that, too, in Kenyan documents.
Unreal.
So, you know, I mean, once we just forget about, we don't have to speculate about anything. We can just do this from the documents. To prove, A, there was a forgery, a criminal forgery in the White House to release this April 27th birth certificate. And common sense, if Obama had his long-form birth certificate, why didn't he release it 3 years ago?
Of course.
Well, why do we have to go through all this nonsense about the only thing available was the short form, and Obama had to get waivers to get the short form, to get the long form? That's all nonsense.
All right,
Recently as March 2011, the Hawaii Department was releasing long-form birth certificates to people that requested them, and I have some in my possession.
Uh-huh.
I've even published those.
Wow.
It's lie after lie. And why
like you said, you don't have to be subjective about anything.
No, just work from the documents. The documents tell the case. And the documents are irrefutable. That's why I put 125 exhibits in the book. I didn't speculate about Ann Dunham leaving and going to the University of Washington, Seattle.
Not needed. I understand.
I had a transcript.
Mm-hmm.
I had documents from the university. I had the house where she lived in. I interviewed the babysitter. Ann Dunham left in embarrassment when she returned from Africa, and Barack Obama, senior, the father, would not actually be her husband. And she couldn't stick around Hawaii with this reality. She split. She left. She went to Seattle. She didn't come back to Hawaii until after Barack Obama.
What a flake.
The father left.
I'm sorry, but the woman was a flake. Not glued together well.
And, you know, the fact is that Barack Obama has been lying about this. I've also got documents in the book. If you look at it, I print the documents where Obama was happy to say and have said about him that he was Kenyan-born until, of course, he decided he was going to run.
Hey, we've
president.
Got him on. He's on YouTube saying that. We've seen it. There's videos of it.
We've got the Kenyan government saying it. The Kenyan government now even building a memorial to celebrate in the intelligence service,
right,
saying that they built the memorial to celebrate Obama's birthplace in Africa. They put the grandmother Sarah on a pension.
I'm going to go further, and I'm going to suggest that there are grounds to entertain the notion that Grandma Dunham was killed.
It's certainly, you can't, let's say you can't rule it out.
No, I'd go further than that,
but I'll
stand with you on that. You bet. Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff, just go with the documents. The documents are so compelling here.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the Kenyan government has known from the beginning that Obama was African-born. But they can't find the record of his birth. It's because they were criminally altered. And I wouldn't be surprised if Obama didn't set that up in 2006 when he went over on a senatorial trip. And it may be partly why Obama started getting some money to Odinga when he was running in his campaign.
Are we giving Obama too much credit for doing all this? He has handlers. He has a coterie of people around him. He has Bill Ayers to write his Memories of My Father or whatever it was, his alleged biography. Ayers even admitted, didn't he?
Yes, well, Ayers has admitted two or three times. And, of course, he always does it, ha-ha, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But, you know, right, and I think Jack Cashel has done a great job of proving that Ayers was the author. This is one of the greatest cover-ups, lies, and deceptions about who the person is.
Well, you look at his Social Security number. Come on.
Right. He's using a Social Security number that was issued in Connecticut. Obama was never lived in Connecticut. Even Bill O'Reilly on Fox, you know, I warn people as no conservative, covering up for Obama, said that the father, Barack Obama Sr., was in Connecticut and applied for that Social Security number. So, the INS,
O'Reilly,
the Immigration Naturalization Service records show that Obama Sr. left in 1964 to go back to Kenya, never returned to Harvard or the East, and in fact was not in Connecticut in the 1970s when that Social Security number was issued to someone other than Barack Obama.
Right. You folks may remember, I've mentioned this numerous times, Barack Obama's Illinois state senator records have all been shredded. They're gone.
Right. He just says his calendar is gone. We don't have Obama's calendar.
Right.
We don't have his date book. We don't have Obama's passport records. He refuses for anybody to see them.
Jerry? Who did it? Who concocted Barack Hussein Obama? Somebody did.
You've certainly got some very powerful forces. You've got George Soros. You've got a whole group of handlers.
Yeah.
You've got Ann Dunham, who worked for the Ford Foundation, Timothy Geithner's father.
There you go.
There has to have been strong CIA handling connections, intelligence connections throughout. Obama was in Pakistan. We didn't know Obama was in Pakistan until his passport records had been tampered by some of John Brennan's employees when John Brennan held a security agency. John Brennan, of course, now got paid off. He's the counterintelligence expert at the White House.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, did Obama, certainly when Obama was in Pakistan,
he had to be interviewed
by the CIA.
I'll also suggest he may well have met with Osama bin Laden.
Well, look, Jeff, before just take on Exhibit 100. Barack Obama's mother removed Obama as a child from her passport and put down Barack Hussein Obama Soy Barka. His records in school have him listed as an Indonesian citizen and a Muslim attending school as Barry Satoro. If he was an Indonesian citizen, that also compromises natural-born citizenship status. And by the way, what is Barack Obama's legal name? Is it Barack or Barry? Is it Satoro? Soy Barka or Obama? He's got so many names that he's used. What's the legal name?
They're good for an office pool.
And by the way, one of the things I'll be writing about later this week, the White House picture of Barack Obama's passport does not agree with the name in the long-form birth certificate. Long-form birth certificate, the White House fraudulently released on April 27th, lists him as Barack Hussein Obama II, 2. His passport does not include 2. Now, your passport's supposed to include your legal name. Another indication that this long-form birth certificate that was released is a forgery. What are the documents Barack Obama submitted to get a passport? We don't know. Barack Obama will show no one his passport record.
No. Nor his medical records.
Nor his medical
any other records.
Or
Columbia
his school
University,
records.
Forget that. I mean, come on.
Where's the birth certificate? What's really about is this is one of the most, not only undocumented presidents, but the misinformation and the creation of a false identity for Obama is core and central to his story. And now that we have a fraudulently released, electronically created birth certificate, this is the entry point to find out who this guy really is. That's all fraudulent, and it's criminally fraudulent now.
Very quickly, the other cases that had been filed in court have uniformly been dismissed, dumped, and otherwise relegated to the dustbin of history.
I don't think that the courts are going to take a political case. And I've tried to argue this with both Orley, Tate, I mentioned it, and to Berg. I've said to them, after the Supreme Court case in the Florida recount, when George W. Bush won the 2000 election, I don't think the courts are going to take another case. But yet, a criminal investigation by the FBI, and if American citizens catch on to this forensic evidence and begin to press the FBI, tell the pollsters that they don't believe that Obama was born in the United States, the public opinion and the demand for an investigation and a release of all Obama's records. I want to know who forged this April 27th document. As I point out, I think there's even signature characteristics in the forgery which suggest that there was some graphic artist who put the final composite together from pieces of original birth certificates supplied by the Hawaiian Department of Accomplices.
Well, that
that's what
is...
Voight concludes. That's going to be in my next article on Voight.
What does...
It'll appear tomorrow, the day after tomorrow.
What does Voight say about the unchecking of the Adobe Illustrator box?
Well, again, he thinks it was, you know, stupid and...
Careless, stupid, human error.
Done too quickly by people who weren't expert enough to think through the last detail. This was a rush job. The White House, the date stamps in the file released by the White House shows that they were finishing it that morning.
Wow. That adds a lot to this. You're right. Now, that makes sense. When did this plan come to you? This is a brilliant maneuver. You outflanked George Soros. You outflanked all of them.
Well, I said, all we have, look, it's fundamental to the psychology of a liar. A liar will tell more lies to preserve the lie. So all we had to do was fully document a book like Where's the Birth Certificate, tempt them to think that if they just released a fraudulent document, they could kill the book, and then get on the record a fraudulent document they're all criminally attached to. That was the plan from the beginning.
Wow. Every piece of legislation he's signed, again, null and void, everyone should be challenged in court.
Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, a void appointment, no longer in the line of succession.
There you
Biden,
go.
Biden, elected on a fraudulent ticket.
Yeah, yeah. It's enormous. It's a wheelbarrow full of stuff. Jerry, I salute you on behalf of what's left of real America. You've just done a service that is second to none, and I wish you the very best with the book, and I'll be here to help you if I can do anything at all.
Well, I followed your work, too, for years, Jeff, and it's an honor to be on your show, and thank you for your support.
Well, thank you. Take care, Jerry.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, good night. Okay, and we're back. Glad you're along tonight. Fascinating information already. A very special guest joins us tonight now for our second hour, a gentleman I have not had on the program enough. He has his own program, but we are so busy, both of us. I don't know how he maintains his schedule. He has had an impact on this country that few can claim, and I know he is a very humble man and is only too glad to contribute. He has spoken more frankly, more openly, and more directly about the long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House than anybody else I know. He is, of course, Pastor James David Manning. Are you there, Pastor?
Yes, I am, Jeff. How are you? Good to be on your broadcast tonight.
I'm well, sir. Thank you. I'm glad to have you back on this evening. I use the term, I've never met you personally, but I feel that we're colleagues. We are,
to be sure.
Well, thank you. We have seen and experienced in this country in the last 15 or 20 years changes that I think as young men and young boys that we never dreamed we would see. We are seeing them being forced down our throats, and nothing is more notoriously obvious and outrageous and insulting to the heritage and the very essence of this country than that creep, he's a creep, in the White House. You have stood tall from the beginning. As an African-American, you bucked the system. You took some heat in the beginning. Everything you've said, though, Pastor Manning, has come to pass. It's true. Everything.
Yeah, unfortunately it has. And, you know, Jeff, I want to certainly congratulate you for all the work that you've done as well. It certainly cannot be understated. And
Thank you, sir. You
have moved the ball forward, and I am thankful to be an American because of your contribution. I'm ashamed to be American because of the actions of many of our congresspersons, judges, legislators, and business people. They make me ashamed.
Oh, yes.
Quite frankly, Jeff, as an African American, allegedly I could look at a number of things and say I would be ashamed to be American, or even go back to Michelle the fist bumper Obama statement during the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
She had never really thought very much about this nation.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate your work. I very well do. So thank you for what you do as well.
Well, I'm honored, as you are, and we both are, to serve this nation, what's left of it. And there's some wonderful people out there, and what we've got to do is encourage them not to withdraw, to stay in the fight. We've got this guy, thanks to Jerome Corsi's book, your work, and the work of a few others. I think we've got him on the ropes now.
I think so, too. I'm convinced that we do. And you're not wrong in calling him a creep. You're quite polite. I've been known, and I have cherished the opportunity to refer to him in much more fluid terms.
Yes. Well, I think we all have, off air, indeed. And it's just hard to believe what our founding fathers would say about something like this. And I'm thinking of founding fathers moving, forward through the 19th century, because they're all basically carrying the same torch as our original founding fathers. Where we are now is so absurd and hard to believe. And there is a malaise in this country. It's not a malaise that Americans chose to saddle themselves or enshroud themselves with. It's a malaise that was literally programmed into them, as you well know, through the school, the alleged
Absolutely.
School system, the
Absolutely.
Mass media, and all the rest of it. And when you're speaking to your congregation and your radio audience and people all around the world through YouTube video presentations and programs you're on, what is the message that you hope to most effectively bring to people? Is there anything that sticks in your mind? You do bring such a broad array of material, but what do you have to say about people anymore?
That we have, over the last 10 to 15 years, but more specifically, visibly over the last couple of years, have actually left the foundation and the principles, the creation principles, that have guided this planet of people since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not moved very much in terms of morality, integrity, and honor, and the things that makes for a great nation. And for most societies, we have remained fairly close to those principles. Why are we now leaving them and thinking that somehow or another we can succeed over the wisdom of literally millenniums of generations? That's a broad spectrum, Jeff, of what I'm trying to communicate.
Well, that's a very important point, and it suggests an ignorant arrogance amongst the people, which again may well have been implanted there. I don't have the answers, but I do know what I see. And the idea of leaving the basic precepts and tenets of being human beings.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
is absurd. I mean, we literally are the sentient caretaker species of the planet, and we're turning our backs on that in aggregate, not in individuals necessarily, but in an aggregate sense. And that has to be reversed. We've got to get back to reminding ourselves who we are, what we are, and what our responsibilities and honor. What an honor it is to be the species that supposedly can bring this planet forward.
Yes. And the other item I think that I, you know, would want to communicate as well is that in a much shorter period of time, when the Founding Fathers established the Constitution, you got to marvel at the wisdom, though it's only been 235 years.
Genius.
You got to write the genius that descended upon them in every word, in every sentence, in every comma, every period that they applied to that document. It's wisdom, it's prophecy, and for us to now trash that, it says there's something fundamentally wrong with us as a people.
Right.
More specifically, we are trashing one of the greatest nations that ever was.
Probably the greatest, I agree. Yeah.
Why are we doing this? Yeah. And why is it that people are standing by with their hands folded, or sitting watching television with their remote controls and allowing this to take place? I don't understand it. I really, really don't.
I don't either. I wish I did. I can only point to the culture of media and the culture of celebrity that has been implanted in the minds of children. I guess it was Lenin or Stalin who said, "Don't worry about the older people, just give me the children. Two generations and I'll own the whole game."
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the philosophy here. The George Soros, all these people, the New World Order, Illuminati, globalists, they want to homogenize every country and take away their national history, their pride, their cultural achievements, their individuality, their uniqueness, which makes this planet so special. And I've always admired different countries. And look how they steamrolled Europe. I still can't believe, Pastor Manning, how Europe laid down and allowed itself to be eviscerated by these thugs. They took their identity and they rolled them up into the European Union, and now they're flooding them with illegal aliens. I don't care who they are. They're flooding them to destroy their identity and their culture. The same thing's being done here, as you well know, folks. You listen, you know, 35 million illegal aliens from 70 different countries, most of them from Latin America and Mexico. That's not an accident.
I don't understand the mindset. I mean, at first it was simply a business. One would think, well, it's good for business. Illegal aliens, they work for less money. Your profit margins are higher. The government became a part of the process and allowing it to take place, not prosecuting or upholding the laws. But we are at a threshold point now where the balance of power with the illegal aliens and their progeny can tip the balance of any election in
this nation. Yep.
And all a candidate has to do is to prostitute himself to that group. And we find ourselves with laws that do not serve our purpose. But Jeff, you know, the other thing I think is critical is that, and the thing that keeps me going, gets me up every day, and not without a lot of effort, I get up with glee knowing that somehow or another we're going to be able to overthrow this, is even in the midst of what history does tell us, is that there have been periods and times when there have been tyrants, there have been people seeking to destroy the sovereignty of good nations and the morality of a decent people in a community, and they have been ultimately defeated. And not by the majority. Even this nation, when it threw off the tentacles of the United Kingdom, of Great Britain,
right.
It wasn't a majority of people that did it then. Yeah. It was just a few determined people who got the work done.
I think it was 3 or 4 or 5% were the only, was the active core. That was it.
Yeah. So I'm encouraged.
Yeah. Well, you have to be. And we do have the Internet. They haven't taken that away. By God, we have to stand up and prevent that if they try it. We just cannot allow it. It's our only means, our last means of real open communication. You're an historian. You've studied history like few people have who are on the political, geopolitical scene today. The issue of the speed and rapidity by which the changes have been literally programmed into this culture still amaze me. And it's been done with technology. Some technology, as you well know, folks, and Pastor Manning knows, is not even talked about because it's so advanced. They're using it, though, to make people think the way they want, to encourage emotional reactions, to create dependence. and to certainly instill in people and inculcate in them an issue of being reactive to stimuli and certainly not accountable to their own behaviors. These are just some of the things we have to somehow reverse. Hold on, Pastor Manning, would you? We have to take a short break. Okay, and we're back. Pastor James David Manning is with us this hour. And I would urge you to click on his name. Do visit his wonderful organization's website and his radio program. Tell us about your program. Where is it heard, Pastor Manning, so people can know?
Well, primarily you can get it at the Manning Report. It's the name of the broadcast.
Yes.
And usually through our venue, our website at atlah.org. That's A-T-L-A-H.org.
Very good.
A-T-L-A-H.org. You can pick it up, and then any other places found, you can find it through there as well.
Many, many of your pieces appear on YouTube, and they've been passed around all over the planet, all over the world. Now, let me get back to the illegal Obama administration. Quite literally, everything the man has done by way of signing legislation into law is illegal. We can assume that now. The work of Jerome Corsi and others have proven it. We knew that going in. There is going to be, in the future, I think, a lot of tumult in this country as these issues are dealt with, and dealt with they must be at some point in time. This man has lied to the American public more frequently, more blatantly, more grotesquely than any politician I can remember in American history.
There's no doubt about it. He has, and continues to do so with impunity. But I think the thing that makes it also extremely unique is that his lies are supported by systems that are established to safeguard and inform the populace from such lies. They have become conspirators and united in the process. That's the mind-blowing part of the whole thing.
Oh, amen to that. It's all true. Now, there is someone who, several people have accumulated the lies that he has foisted on the public after the campaign promises. And we all know when he was running and promised change. Change we can believe in. Well, the re-election campaign is now hope and change. It's more lies. The lies are so huge, Pastor Manning, that I don't understand how people... I still see Obama bumper stickers on cars from the last election.
You're right. There's still some around. Obama and Biden, 08.
Dr.
Jerome Corsi has done some great work, both in the book Abomination and in Where's the Birth Certificate. And anybody who reads either one of those books, especially the later one, and now he is thoroughly documented, like a great prosecutor, the lies that Obama's and the fraud that Obama has perpetrated.
Uh-huh.
But yet the media will not bring this truth to the American people.
Because the media doesn't serve the American people. It serves its corporate masters.
Yeah, you're right about that, but the truth is available for this, and I think Dr. Corsi's work is, it is historical in concept, and he has just made a great contribution, I think.
We have another problem here, and we watched it in living color, as they say. Benjamin Netanyahu is here, and kicked Barry's butt in front of the national media. I don't know where that 1967 borders thing came from that he laid out there. Was he just on a little momentary ego hallucination that he would bring that up?
No. Obama most assuredly wants to destroy the state of Israel. As he has, what we have to do philosophically and religiously is look at the importance of the state of Israel, Jeff, for the average Christian that makes up the American mindset, and even those that don't believe. Really, it's very difficult for us to articulate this, but to think about a world without Israel as a state, most people could not fathom that. Obama, if he could effectively destroy the state of Israel, he could do more damage to the planet than he's doing right now. And that's why it's important that he does do that. Not to mention what I believe he just has an extreme hatred for the Jewish people. I believe that he does. I mean, he is, after all, he was raised by two Muslim fathers. I'm of the mindset that he realizes that going back to the 1967 borders, would not only would it destroy Israel, but he's also talking about a two-state solution for that mm-hmm. particular parcel of land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of us who study the Bible recognize that that land was bequeathed to Abraham, and whatever you want to argue about whether the Jews have been there consistently throughout the period, or want to argue about the time in which, you know, Richard the Lionhearted and Saladin fought over the land, and they, mm-hmm. for 100 years they had it going back and forth. The thing for us to remember is what the Bible says, and I think what's critical here is a two-state nation in Israel would indeed effectively null and void Israel as a people. But more specifically, Jeff, it would cause an internal fighting among the people who are settlers in the West Bank like we've never seen before. It would bring on a major world conflict. And Obama knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's just working along with a number of other people to build animus against the Jewish people and hoping somehow or another it can succeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he keeps building and promulgating that animus, he may end up a martyr. They don't mess around.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, you know, I'm praying that no one would do that for him, because then he lives on and he becomes a hero. I want to see him marched off to Guantanamo Bay in an orange suit. I think nothing would bring me more satisfaction. So I pray somebody, you know, knocks him off.
Gosh, didn't he promise he was going to close? Gee, I seem to remember something about that.
Yeah, he did.
That's a very important
thing. That was a campaign promise, remember. He said he's going to close Guantanamo Bay, and thinking about 3 months after his election. It's still there.
Yep, still there, and will continue to be. All right, we'll pause and come back in just a couple more minutes. This is a nation in great crisis, and I just don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. I can't quite get a handle on how much influence Obama even has. Pastor Manning, we'll talk about that when we come back in just a couple minutes. I'm talking about influence in running the executive branch. It's hard to know with hidden hands all over the place.
That's another major, major concern.
No, it is.
Who is pulling the
There you go. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, back with Pastor James David Manning, talking about the imposter, the usurper, the creep in the White House. Who's pulling the strings, my friend? And we've got George Soros. They talk about Henry Kissinger. They talk about the Illuminati. We do know that Barkey is a prolific teleprompter reader. They know he's partied more than any other president. And they also know a lot about his personal life. Alleged personal life from the work of Larry Sinclair and others who have probed his background as much as they can. They know that he and Rahm Emanuel reportedly both are card-carrying members of the oldest men's gay bathhouse in Chicago. That's been on the news a lot. I can't verify it, but that's the story. There are other stories as well about bisexuality, about past drug use, and so on. It's a real morass. But we do know that Obama is not sitting in the Oval Office formulating national policy. So the big question, obviously, is who is or who are these people, and what is their agenda?
Jeff, I got an email from a trusted follower of what the Manning Report does that stated that Michelle Obama had taken off her wedding rings. Now, I have not seen that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that to be true, and I don't mean to indicate that it's absolutely true. It has happened. I get a lot of things that people say to me. But I have been watching now every time she's on camera to see if her hands are exposed, to see if indeed that is true.
Uh-huh. What do you see?
I've asked other people to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But I think one of the things that you and I first talked about and that brought me to the attention and the support of Larry Sinclair was that I was made unequivocally aware of Obama's bisexuality and what is known in the African-American genre as the down low, where black men are generally middle class and probably, you know, professional degrees,
mm-hmm.
For the most part, but not always, who have a bisexual tendency, and they've been unable to get in a public, or strongly involved in a heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But they long for the bisexual, homosexual relationship, and they have these bars and these places where they go, as black men in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama was heavily involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Madsen also reported that Jeremiah Wright actually ran one of those kinds of operations out of the Trinity of Hell Church.
Wow.
But I was given information about Obama's involvement with Oprah Winfrey and Jeremiah Wright. I, to date, have not been released by the person to go ahead with that information. I pray to God, once I get a release, that could be the thing that brings everything down. But
really?
I've been aware of that now for a couple of years, and I think you know that I'm aware of it.
Yep. This whole thing has so many layers to it. And yet it's so shallow. It's a funny paradox, but that's the way it is. The idea of the church in Chicago, Wright's Church, Larry Bland, Donald Young, we do know there are some potential criminal, felony, capital crimes in Obama's past, linked to him somehow or other. These are major issues. Wayne Madsen is one of the only people covering them. We covered it here, but I can't right now for reasons that I think most of you understand. There are a few who talk about these things. The lid was pushed down very hard on them. I don't know how much longer it can stay down, though, especially with Jerome Corsi's book coming out now. Is this man expendable without martyring him? And I look, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Murder is a fact of life in politics, not in this country, in the world. Every country has its problems. People are done away with. I would really hate to see Barack Hussein Obama martyred and elevated to a level of a Dr. Martin Luther King, which is exactly what they do, and you know it. They try and make him into a near godlike person.
Well, I think that one of the things I've done, Jeff, and my investigating his background, especially as tenaciously and voraciously as I could regarding his alleged attendance at Columbia University.
Alleged.
I spent one solid year combing over every piece of evidence as to whether Obama did indeed attend Columbia University. Now, our church is only 7 blocks from Columbia University. Most people do not realize, who have not been to New York, that Columbia University, which is a massive compound, is in the region known as Harlem. And, of course, my graduate degree, or a master's degree, was from a school that is affiliated with Columbia University. In fact, they sit right across the street from one another, which is Union Theological Seminary. And the years that Obama alleged to have gone to Columbia, I was studying for my master's, and he was studying for his bachelor's, allegedly. I was studying for Union. Jeff, the man has never been to Columbia University. What I was able to discover is that, and we were able to document, that he was an operative. He was recruited by the CIA when he was in Occidental College and packed off to Pakistan and Afghanistan because of his abilities, and he became an operative, gun running, and a number of other things, helping the Mujahideen overthrow the Soviet invasion. And now, he spent 4 years there.
There's also a very strong likelihood he met Osama bin Laden there.
I think so. I can't prove it. I don't have documentation.
No.
But it's extremely strong, Jeff. Extremely strong.
Yeah. Only he knows, and he's not going to tell. It's a bizarre situation. The guy has been sheep dipped so many times now over the years, and now he's president. And I don't, are they going to succeed in forcing him down our throats, cramming him down the throats of America for another 4 years? If that's the case, and he continues to carry out and execute, no pun intended, the policies of his handlers, this country might not even be recognizable in another 4 years.
Well, if he is successful, you're right. It wouldn't take 4 years. I think if he wins the 2012 election, at that point, he would become unstoppable and more maniacal. I think right now he's probably nursing some of the things that he would want to do.
Right.
But he needs more time to affect them. But the other thing, Jeff, that I'm convinced of is that people such as yourself and a few others around America, as quietly as it may seem, it probably prompted the statement you made a lot earlier. We've got him on the run. We're just about hearing the report. But you have not waned. You have not backed away. And there are others who are just as stalwart on this matter. And it isn't that your work or my work is so great. It's just that we're dealing with the absolute truth, and we're dealing with the welfare of an awesome nation, and we're dealing with an alien person who does not fit this nation, does not fit this mode, does not represent the truth, nor justice, nor the people. So it is simply a matter of our persistency that will work this rotten core person out of our nation.
Well, I it won't come too soon for me or you or most of our listeners out there. I'm sure of that. Stand by, and we'll come right back with Pastor Manning in just a couple minutes. Okay, we're back with Pastor James David Manning. As one looks at the mainstream media news headlines, one often cringes. It just gets crazier all the time. If you are able to assume a position of influence in this country somehow, somewhere, where would you start? It's not meant to be a trick question. It's a tough one. Where would you start, Pastor Manny, to try to repair the grievous, if not mortal, damage done to our country? What would you do?
Boy, that's an excellent question.
It's a tough one.
But, you know, Jeff, I have to say, and I pray that I can be consistent in this question, in this answer. I would start where I'm at right now. I'd like to think that what I am doing and where I'm at is an appropriate place to start.
Good answer.
And let me tell you why.
Of course.
I believe I've made a commitment I would never hold elective office.
Mm-hmm. I'd vote for you if you were crazy enough to run for it.
Yeah, I'd be crazy to do it. But, you know, those who do, they get contaminated, even though they have a pure heart and a right spirit.
Yes, they do.
You know, leading up to that process. And then once they get into the district of criminals, they become as bad as those. You know, but I really think that where I'm at right now, and I don't consider myself the solution to America's problems right now, but I certainly would like to think about myself in terms of playing some small role in doing so. And I see, you know, reaching out to people every day with the truth and not being ashamed. I think just basically being, showing a love for this nation and being courageous is a great place to be.
I agree. I think what you're doing, Pastor Manning, is what everyone should strive to do, and that is find their highest and best use for humankind and pursue that with a passion, which is exactly what you do.
Yeah, and I think it works. I think it's the best place to start.
Yeah.
It's a pure place.
It is.
And
as
can be
honest
very,
as it gets,
very effective.
You bet, absolutely. Okay, now, we have here in this country a fictional economy, a fictional system of monetary values. We have usury, we have indebtedness, we have, of course, that foreign influence, shall we call it, AIPAC and the Federal Reserve and the City of London banking family, and so forth. We are literally being controlled from outside to a very large degree. Now, your point about Obama not being on Israel's A-list, shall we say, is very interesting. He is, if we are reading it right, he grew up a Muslim. If we're reading it right, he represents potentially, I'm not going to call it a threat because I don't think he could get very far, but potentially certainly an embarrassment and a great inconvenience to Israel. You saw how Netanyahu treated him, the arrogance, the glaze, the look in his eye. You saw Obama in the handshake, literally bending over. Then you saw him sitting listening to Netanyahu lecture him with his hand, Obama's hand up on his chin, kind of basically the message is that he's trying to hide behind something. And Netanyahu said, everybody knows the 67 borders aren't coming back. It's not going to happen. And he blew him away.
Well, I think that when we look at the Jewish state and then the state of Israel and Zionism as a third entity, we're looking at different groups of people with varying financial strengths and religious beliefs.
Right.
And Obama...
And some of those beliefs are quite secular, if I might say. They're
Obama's with the secular Jews. In fact, Well, everybody in his cabinet, Jeff, yeah. has some sort of Jewish tie, if not blue blood mm-hmm. Jewish tie, but
Precisely.
They are secular, and they're part of the financial stream. While there's another set of Jews that Netanyahu potentially does represent, does not support or believe the secular Jews. You know, I mean, he's got a ton of them, Rahm Emanuel, Tim Geithner, I mean, Paul Wolfowitz. I mean, they're all a part of his of the Jewish process, but they're not a part of the religious Jewish process. So
right.
I think oftentimes people misunderstand and misinterpret
Oh, they do.
That.
Oh, and the secular Jews are only too happy to hide behind that religious mask and say, hey.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Very good at it. They're masters at it. Okay, so we are approaching, sadly, I'm sorry to say it, but that last campaign was just a nightmare. We're approaching another presidential campaign. The list of people who have entered and withdrawn and will yet, they have yet to enter, are pretty grim. This country can do a lot better, but nobody seems to want to get into politics, honestly, and as you said, they become contaminated. Who has any moral backbone anymore? It's as if someone once said that congressmen and women check their spines at the door when they show up for work. And that's not an exaggeration. We have very serious problems in Washington with a Congress that literally serves the interests, not of its constituents. And yet, in the last election, and D.V. Kidd, I think, told me, we as a populace returned almost 90% of the treasonous, traitorous members of Congress back to Washington, D.C. in the last election. Now,
yeah.
granted, some of those elections were fixed. It's all tragically now computer controlled. It's even easier than it was 25 years ago. So we've got multiple problems here. But the big issue is what happens to these people, Pastor Manning, when they go to Washington. They start out in many cases as being pretty good folks.
Well, when we look at the roster of Republican or conservative candidates who may or may not oppose Obama for 2012, what I've been able to do to find some sort of peace about this matter is to go all the way back to 2008 and look at what happened with the dynasty of the Clintons
uh-huh.
and also with the potential of John McCain, how they both just rolled over in front of Obama and continues to roll over in front of Obama. I mean, if they wanted to martyr themselves, if Hillary wanted to martyr herself, she couldn't, it would end a political career. But on the other hand, she could bring America back to a sense of sanity, except by saying, hey, listen, you know, we need to investigate this person. I know that he is not eligible to hold the office, and whatever happened in that meeting that allowed him to wrist the nomination away from her, she needs to bring it out. John McCain could do the same thing.
You know, and your point, if I might just step in, the point about Hillary Clinton, literally, if she were to do that, if she had the character and the strength and the morality to do that, it would secure her a place in history utterly unique.
Why doesn't she do it?
I don't know.
Because this way, Jeff, she goes, she's remembered as a blurb, you know, as the wife of Bill. But she would secure a prominent place in history and in many ways become a Joan of Arc for America. You know, she may never be president, but
right.
she could be something greater. Why
right.
doesn't she do it? I'm sure you and I are not the only ones that figured this out.
Mm-hmm. No, you're totally right. I don't know. I don't have an answer. We look at Sarah Palin. We look at, my goodness. What happened to the Tea Party, Pastor Manning? Started out with some good ideas and some real energy.
The Tea Party was a strong party, Jeff, back in, let's see, what, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They were a group of Americans that were ready to revolt. I mean, they were ready to go back to Patrick Henry. They were ready for the 1776 revolution. They were a strong group of people who realized that something had gone dreadfully wrong in mm-hmm. this nation. They were being maligned, abused, called racist.
Oh, yeah.
None of which was true. And their nation was being taken from them. They were being taxed. They were being overtaxed. Their freedoms were being curtailed.
Right.
And they were ready. They've had it. The Tea Party came along and co-opted this group and for a brief moment allowed those expressions to be vented. And then came the Koch brothers and other large amounts of funding into the Tea Party.
Penetrated and corrupted by money and influence.
Yeah. It's the same old thing all over again.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
exactly
amazing
what happened to them.
It is sad. It's sad to see, because that was, for a flickering few moments, kind of interesting. But any potential source of power in this country, any potential source of resistance, pushback, is immediately targeted and penetrated and turned around from within. The enemy is very good at what they do. And ultimately, it's the weakness of man. Bribes, blackmail, influence peddling, whatever. There are lots of sins that people are going to fall for, and they do. So, I don't know.
Well, I think that there is a chance. I think the American people, I've not given up my hope in them. I think as we work out two things. One is that we work out the fact that we are assured of victory. Obama will not destroy this nation. Once we are assured of that, and then we need to begin to lay the foundation of what we're going to do, I think we could come up with a great answer of how we could keep this nation from disintegrating, if all of this information, ever how deep it goes, all the way back to the Kennedy assassination. If we could keep this nation from disintegrating, and that could be unequivocally demonstrated, I think that it's going to take something like that in terms of mm-hmm. kind of foundation to make the American people feel comfortable. Because everybody in America knows, I mean, these black people know, Jeff, that Obama's a fraud. They know it. I mean, they tell me now.
Sure.
You know, the same people that were threatening to kill me 2 years ago are telling me the man is a lowlife. He's
wow.
a fraud.
I'm glad to hear it.
They're telling me that. And
yeah.
So, you know, it isn't a secret anymore. It's just that, how do we stop this nation from imploding, you know?
We're fighting a war 11 years in Afghanistan. Obviously, there are designs on Pakistan. China has just told the United States to keep hands off Pakistan. An attack on Pakistan will be viewed as an attack on China. So the people pushing the buttons had better push very carefully, or this thing in the Middle East could turn into a major conflagration. Now we have the Israelis again talking about an attack on Iran may be, quote, necessary. We're on the doorstep of such a myriad of problems and challenges that, again, a lot of people tend to want to withdraw, and I would urge you not to do so, folks. If we need every smart man and woman out there to stay with us. It's that simple. Pastor Manny, thank you for being here. It's really great to talk to you again.
Jeff, listen, thank you so very much for having me tonight. I really appreciate it.
All right. Be well. Take care.
The Lord take care of you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Pastor James David Manning, really a great American of our times. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.